Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
We start this morning, we start our 17th year at the Friday Morning Men's Fellowship. And the kind of things that happen are really, really neat. Dan, not to embarrass Dan, but his getting here is very interesting. Some guys came down here from East Cobb, Pastor Bryant Wright and Bill Castleberry and Wally Smith, and we trained them. They have 50 guys meeting up there now in Johnson Ferry Road. And they met Dan, Bryant Wright, and Wally Smith, and when it came time to find him a place, a men's fellowship, they recommended this. I like that kind of stuff, don't you? Huh? You know what I mean? Cooperation and not competition. Well, this is our 17th year, and all I can say to kick off this morning is because of the Lord's faithfulness, His compassions, they fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Just keep that in mind, okay? That's the only reason why we do this, you know, because of who He is. Otherwise, we don't have a chance. Okay, here we go. I want to ask you a question this morning, challenge you a little bit. What do you think allowed Steve Case, recognize that name? America Online? What do you think allowed him to hang in there since 1982, making cyberspace easy to access? He had the idea in 1982. He fought backers' doubts about the size of the internet market. Obviously, it wasn't going to be easy back in 1982, right? He fought Wall Street's doubts about America Online. What do you think allowed him to keep plugging away? Huh? What allowed him to keep going? Well, he could see the end, right? He could see the end. A lot of men have that ability. They can see the end, and no matter who are the naysayers, who are the people that are trying to knock them off, they keep moving. America Online is buying Netscape and CompuServe and has formed a three-year alliance with Microsoft, Sun Microsystems. They have 14.5 million subscribers and they add 10,000 subscribers a day. I checked on the stock, it's selling at 469 times earnings. Blue chip. Men, this morning, as we kick off 1999, think of this. Now, not to, you know, the Lord, when He taught, He would say, look at this. Look at that farmer up there casting seed. I want you to look at this as sort of a parable. Look at it this morning as a great object lesson for where James, our chairman, wants to take us this morning. Where does he want to take us this morning? He wants us to be patient and to persevere. Will you open your Bibles with me to the fifth chapter of James, verse 7 this morning. Let's start off here. Okay. James says, and he's writing now to people of faith, brothers he calls them. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. He could have said in contemporary language today, if he were writing it today, he would have said, look at Steve Case. Look at him over there, right? He waited. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. How patient he was for that IPO, right? And then the first thing and the done, right? That first investment banker that bellied up to the bar, as they would say in Memphis, and put it on the line there. How valuable was the crop? He waited for the valuable crop. The farmer waits for the valuable crop. How valuable was the crop? What did it mean back then? The harvest time. What did it mean? In a totally agrarian society, how valuable is the crop? It's the whole enchilada. They have a sign here on the tables, if you find it here on the border. They have a meal called the whole enchilada. It's the whole enchilada. It meant everything to them. But James' men today is writing to us here this morning. That's the beauty of Scripture. Written 2,000 years ago, these words are as applicable to us today as they were back then. That's what makes the Bible, right? What does the writer of Hebrews say? The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay? We may need encouragement, a reminder to be patient and to persevere, to weather a few storms ourselves. You may be sitting here this morning beginning to get weary. Your business may not be prospering the way you need it to be. That's a tough one. Financial pressure is a pain, isn't it? You don't have to raise your hands. But isn't it a pain, financial pressure? Nothing like a little cash to make you feel better. I love that. I love that expression of Joe Louis, the old heavyweight fighter. He said, I don't really like money, but it does help my nerves. You know, you may be here this morning feeling a little pressure. You spent too much for Christmas, okay? Your marriage is more of a truce than a love affair. You don't have to raise your hands on that one either. But I happen to know, and I'm not one of them, and I thank God for it, that a lot of men that come on Fridays are in very tough situations. Maritally, I think that's a tough one. The Lord has not given me that challenge. Or that adolescent in your life continues to act like an adolescent. My little Joshua, who I'm crazy about, he's a wonderful kid. I said to him the other day, you know, Joshua, sometimes you act like a child. And he's learned to put up with this morbid sense of humor of mine, you know? And he just laughed. I said, you know, sometimes you just act like a child. He's out. The big thing was he iced the entire driveway with a hose. They're fascinated. You know, kids are fascinated by snow and ice. I paid my dues in Connecticut and New York and Philadelphia. I don't really need any more snow and ice. So you come home, the whole driveway is a sheet of ice. Okay. Well, here is our encouragement. If we're getting worried, here is our encouragement from James here this morning. He said, you too, verse 8, you too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. You're not going to have to do this forever. It's pretty hard to relate this today to a culture that is so affluent. These people were literally living hand to mouth one day at a time. They're getting hit from the Romans externally, and internally their own people are selling them down the river. The aristocracy, the Jewish aristocracy, was betraying them. It's hard for us to relate to this, but try when you're feeling weary, you just think about the fact the Lord's coming is near. So we stand firm, we keep on persevering because the Lord's coming. I like the older translation, the Lord's coming is nigh. Right, Tom Clark? These Irishmen are romantics, you know. Okay, it was near back then, men. How much nearer today, 1950 years later? This truth, men, the truth, we call it the blessed hope of His glorious appearing. Why do we call it a hope if it's truth? The truth of Jesus Christ coming back, why do we call it a hope?
Because of the eternal life.
No, Charlie, the answer is it just hasn't happened yet, but it's no less true. He is coming back. This truth should take us through the rough spots, really. When you're tempted to fly off the handle with that adolescent, or to be discouraged in your marriage, or to start worrying about money, which is sinful, right? When you're tempted to do it, you ought to be thinking about this. I was in my office the other morning thinking about how irritated I was by a certain individual that I was trying to work with. I don't know why I got myself all worked up. And then, in this studying this passage helped me. I reminded myself that this man is my brother and that I needed to pray for him. And I stopped at my desk and I just prayed for him. What freedom I felt. I don't have to judge this man. I don't have to judge him. That is God's business. He's the judge. And as a matter of fact, James tells us, look here at verse 9, he's standing right outside the door. Don't grumble, he says, against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. We have this tendency when we get weary, when we start to lose it, when we're pressurized, we go after one another. James is saying, don't do it. Isn't that true? Huh? Verse 10. This human sinful tendency to murmur and grumble, men, buys us nothing. It only adds to our calamities. It buys us nothing. If you have that habit, and I do, and a lot of it is temperament. A lot of it has to do with our temperament. If we're critical, if we can see the problems, we're going to tend to be a grumbler and a murmurer. It buys us nothing. Let's go to verse 10 here quickly. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Okay. Men, this year, personally, I want to be more bold in standing for the Lord and His Word, starting right here on Friday mornings. I'm telling you right now, over the holidays, taking some of this stuff that we do, you know, these planning questionnaires and everything, I want to be more bold in standing for the Lord and His Word. This world needs Jesus Christ desperately. And if we, the business and professional men, don't take a stand, a bold stand, what chance do people have? They're going down every other cul-de-sac in the world and they're coming up with blanks. Excuse me. And this is going to be a point of encouragement to me right here, this verse right here. As an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The best men historically in this country and around the world have always had the hardest time. The best men have had the hardest time. You know what we're suffering from in this culture? Affluenza. It's making us soft and weak, and we are not giving people the biblical alternative the way we should be. Look at Steve Case. The best men have always had the hardest time. Look at this, verse 11. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. When you persevere, you get a bigger blessing. Now, we're not going to look for trouble, but tribulation does work patience in our lives, right? You know that passage, don't you, in Romans 5? Tribulation works patience. Patience works experience, and experience works hope. Your hope in the Lord grows when you hang in there with Him. I told a younger man who came to see me over the holidays, who's really struggling, and I won't get into the details, but I told him that difficulty is never an indication that God isn't in it. Difficulty may be an indication that God is in it. And how do you sell that in a culture where everybody is trying to be more and more comfortable? How comfortable can you get? It's getting irritating, isn't it? This country was not built by men who tried to be comfortable. James finishes his argument for patience and perseverance this morning with a knockout punch. And what's the knockout punch? Job. Okay, here we go. He says, you have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. Job, the greatest example in the Bible. Even his wife turned against him. What did she tell him? Curse God and die. How do you like that? You come home with boils all over you. You know, your wife says, curse God and die. What allowed him to persevere, men? What allowed Job to persevere? He saw the end, Charlie. I'll tell you, there's this verse here I want to read to you that is so marvelous from the book of Job. He said, I know my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. Job could see the end. Jesus Christ coming back and standing on the earth and running the whole show, and all the problems are going to get worked out. You know, Dan, you're a salesman, right? Charlie, you're a salesman. Dan's a sales engineer. If you want to be a salesman, can you think of anything better to tell people about than this? What are we embarrassed about? Men, we're not merely hanging in there. We're persevering with an eye to a future glorious reward. We look forward to the end. The bottom line of this whole deal here today is this. Right here, the last part of verse 11. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. We can be patient and persevere because of who God is. It's ultimately, it's going to come down to who He is. And He's full of compassion and mercy. And therefore, in the end, will give us the rewards that we deserve. I'm counting on that. Are you? I'm counting on it. He will take care of everything. We may not end up as good as Job did, you know. Read that last chapter of Job. He ended up, for some reason, the Lord in this life gave him twice as much as he had before he went through the trial. It may not happen to us that way. This is not prosperity gospel. We may end up like our brother Mark Christopher did last year and go home early. You don't know what the Lord has got, okay? But the challenge this morning is, if you're in a tough place, look to the end of it. And look ultimately to the final end, the Lord's return. His coming is near. He is standing at the door. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, I thank You that Your coming is near. And I pray, even in this affluenza, we're not worried about the next meal. Even now, even here in Buckhead, we can be thinking about that, and that would energize us to be obedient even today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.